desk. It was Tuesday.
I don't like no Captain Kirk jokes.
Too bad. You die.
You said it.
At your service, ma'am.
Ouch. I could use pants.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
G-A-I-D-E-N. How do you pronounce that word? According to the YouTube channel How to Pronounce with Trevor Klinger, it is...
Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden.
Hello, and welcome to Reset and Rewind, the video game movie podcast, where we chronologically discuss every video game movie ever. I'm Doug, and I'm too lazy to come up with something to say for this intro, so let's just insert a clip from the announcer in the game. I'm here with Kevin.
Huh?
And Paul.
Ninja Gaiden.
So, the reason I screamed was because, I don't know if you guys remember, I'm sure you do, but in Soul Calibur 2, when I watched this movie, for some reason I thought of Soul Calibur, but in Soul Calibur 2, at the beginning of every fight, you could just like jam on the A button and they would just shout. Like, whatever character you were, they'd go, ah!
Oh, yeah.
No. I remember the lizard guy, Lizard Man. He'd be like, Lizard Man.
And you go, yeah. That was a very unappreciated feature of Soul Calibur. And I feel like almost everyone I've talked to who played Soul Calibur 2 misses that feature.
Very much so.
And they didn't have it in any other game. The Battle Cry is what it, I think it's called. But that is not what we're talking about today.
We are talking about the movie Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive from 2006. It's DOA, : Dead or Alive.
Yes.
But I'm going to call it Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive.
That's it. That's actually, well, Dead on Arrival, Dead or Alive was this movie. Because that's about as good as it was. I wouldn't say it was my least favorite out of all the movies we watched.
Absolutely not.
But it also was not anywhere near my favorite.
Fully agree.
Same, yeah, I agree.
I actually found a lot of it pretty funny. This movie just didn't take itself too seriously, so I would laugh at a bunch of parts. And I also felt like, just chop away 30% of this movie, and it would be a lot better. There was way too many scenes of, like, really hot ladies just, like, walking. Just cut it away, and just, like, continue on with the campiness. It's fine.
No, you can't do that, though, because if you've played a Dead or Alive game, well, let's talk about the game. Because it's important to this movie and why it was made in the way that it was made.
Sure. So, Dead or Alive is a fighting franchise that started, oh my gosh, it feels like forever ago. It started in 1996 with Dead or Alive 1. Yep.
Wow.
And then in 99 with Dead or Alive 2. Dead or Alive 3 was the big one because it launched on Xbox. And that was in 2001. And then 4 was in 2005. And Dead or Alive 5, which is the one that I remember the least, was in 2012. And Dead or Alive 6 was in 2019.
Wow, 2 years ago Dead or Alive came out.
Yeah. And so there are some other different types of Dead or Alive games. Most of you will remember the boob physics from Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Wait, was that the first time they added the boobs to, like, were boobs prominent in all of the Dead or Alive games? Because that is, like, an obvious thing in these games. And why, and it obviously influenced the movie as well.
Yes. They are not super prominent in Dead or Alive 1, but by the time you get to 2 and 3, they are very, very prominent. And obviously, Beach Volleyball is the one where it, like, super kicks it into next gear.
I couldn't imagine in 1996 how the boobs could have even looked. Like, they couldn't have had, like, bouncy boobs like they did back in...
Bouncy triangles.
Yeah, it's like bouncy triangles. I guess, when did Tomb Raider come out?
I think that was 96.
She was quite busty. So maybe it had the similar bustiness.
This is like a dark mark on video games, right? This exploitation of women for male teen, like, fetishization or whatever the fuck it is. Little teens were, like, super horny and just wanted to see busty women in their video games the whole time, and here we go.
I'm gonna play Dead or Alive. I heard if you play it long enough, they show their tits.
Well, I mean, look at Metroid 2, where at the end, she's in a bikini, right? And it's just like a freaking 16-bit image, but they show her in a bikini because that's what people wanted back then.
Yeah, it's weird. These fighting games are, I don't want to say it like it's not true, they really do have some pretty good mechanics. Yeah. Dead or Alive has some fun fighting mechanics. It's not Tekken, it's not Soul Calibur, and it's not Street Fighter. It's like a weird, generic version of all of those things.
I'm going to say a very controversial thing. I think it's better than Tekken. I actually think that Tekken is a worse version of Soul Calibur, and Dead or Alive is sort of in a league of its own because it did this crazy thing, I don't know if you remember, with environments. So it really like took environments pretty extreme where you'd like, if you fell off the edge, sometimes you would actually go into a new fighting arena, which was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
You didn't see that in a Tekken game.
Send all hate mail to k@gmail.com for everyone who doesn't feel the same way.
Screw Tekken, people.
I like Tekken because it's just, I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of those donkey YouTube videos, but Tekken's just fucking wacky, man. Whereas Dead or Alive is also wacky.
Oh yeah, Dead or Alive's not wacky. Not
Dead or Alive's wacky in like a sexy way, right? Like, Tekken's like, you got giant fucking bears, and like, you know, you're playing like a...
He's a tiger.
Exactly.
King,
yeah. Just weird shit, whereas, you know, Dead or Alive is a little bit different. Although, I don't know if you guys remember this, but one of the characters that was pretty heavily featured in Dead or Alive was Master Chief.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Chief was in Dead or Alive 4. And he was the big push for people to buy that game exclusively on Xbox.
Interesting.
He wasn't called Chief, it was called Spartan 458, but it's Chief.
That's the same thing.
Yeah. That was a pretty fun way to play the game. I mean, it's not as great as, you know, the Soul Calibur roster of exclusive heroes, but it's still pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't to that caliber.
I will say, I've always really enjoyed playing Ryu in these games, especially after Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden.
Became popular again, because they, like, redid his style, so...
Ninja Gaiden!
Yeah, and that's also awful. A pretty fun thing to point out in this movie, is that Ryu is in this movie, but he is not called Ryu.
Well, we can't fully talk about the movie yet. We'll move in there later. But is that all we want to say about the game? It's pretty much all we want to say about the game, right? Is there anything... Well, there's the volleyball, right? And that's actually in this movie. So there's the volleyball. Did they make a bunch of volleyball games? Or is it just the one?
There are, I think, 2, maybe 3 volleyball games. I think there are 3 volleyball games.
Wow. And do they only have the women as characters in the volleyball games? I never played the volleyball games, but I can only assume that they only had the women play the volleyball.
I think so. That's because of the volleyball game. I'd never played a Dead or Alive game. I thought the gimmick of this fighting game was it was all women, no men at all. But it turns out there are men in this game.
Yeah, the fighting game aspect is really focused on... I mean, the first two are pretty good mechanically. It doesn't evolve too much, but Kevin's right. It's about the changing environments at times.
It's a really cool thing.
The beach volleyball is just strictly picking up on what Dead or Alive 1 and 2 kind of highlighted, a little bit of, like, the sexy character appeal. And suddenly, you know, the opening cover is just all of the women in scantily clad outfits. I mean, I worked at a GameStop. Quick, fun story. I worked at a GameStop. I saw this game cover, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, maybe hundreds of copies in my lifetime. None of them were sold for more than $5. Yet somehow, people bought them at least once a week. This game was purchased at least once a week. It was gross.
I just imagine this creepy man just walks in. He's like,
Do you have Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball?
I'll take 10 of them.
Yeah, every single one of the men who purchased this game had, like, some sort of, like, stained gray shirt and, like, you know, greased pants. Like, one of those two things was on him. And he definitely took this game home and had himself a
meatball
time.
Stains. All
exactly, yeah.
Okay. So, now do you guys want to lead into the game? Or not the game, the movie?
Well, one more thing about the game. There aren't, you know, like Mortal Kombat has fatalities, and you know other games like Killer Instinct, fatalities. Does this game have fatalities in it?
I don't think people die.
Yeah, so it's called Dead or Alive. There's no death.
No,
so
it's Alive.
You just call the game Alive, yeah.
No, we call it Or Alive.
Or Alive, rated T for teens.
Yeah.
Well, it's called Dead or Alive. It's not called Dead and Alive. So, I mean, you never have to do the dead part. You can just do the alive every single time.
It can have the POD song.
Feel so alive.
They do have that. They have that in two of the games.
Every day is a new day.
I'll give you my opinion. I liked these fighting games up until, like, the third one. They were fun. I played a lot of fighting games when I was younger.
Up until the third one? So you only liked the terrible, very, like, pixelated 96 version and the Dead or Alive 2, where
yeah.
boobs could slightly be seen?
No, Dead or Alive 2 was on Dreamcast, and it was great. It had, like, really tight controls on the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast is an underrated system, and this game played really well on the Dreamcast.
I only played 3, and I actually enjoyed 3.
Yeah, I mean, 3 played a lot like 2. It wasn't too much different. It's like the change from Soul Calibur 2 to 3. Like, it wasn't too much different. 2, I felt, was a little bit better of a game than 3.
No doubt.
That's how I felt about Dead or Alive 2 to 3.
2 is way better.
3 had that character customization in Soul Calibur 3. That was great. I created so many people. That was really fun.
That was cool. You could create Magus in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and it felt pretty damn good. All right, so let's talk about the amazing movie Dead or Alive, : Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
So how much do you think this movie made? Oh, first question, how much do you think it cost?
I think it cost $2.5 million. And I think that it made $0.4 million.
I think it probably costs right around like $20 million. And there's no way it made more than five.
Paul, you are very close.
Oh, really?
The budget was $30 million. Box office, $7.7 million.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no way it made back half of its money. This thing, it felt like a Sci-Fi Channel original movie. It just felt that way to me.
Where the hell did the money go?
Drugs.
Like, I guess there was some cinematic, that I could see. There was no, like, high talent. There was no, I shouldn't say recognizable faces, because there were definitely recognizable faces, but they were all minor recognizable people. No one, like, that you were like, oh, that's a prominent actor. There were no prominent actors. There was no, like, crazy CG. There were, I guess, stunt people. But where the hell did all them $30 million go? That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's probably for the director. Director Corey Ewan apparently is a very, like, highly regarded Hong Kong action movie director.
What do you do? Dead or Alive and then Dead or Alive and Dead or Alive?
Apparently there are no sequels to this. Although they did hint towards one, but we'll get
to
that.
They attempted to hint towards one, yeah.
The only two people that I readily recognized, like, on just, like, first viewing without my glasses on, Jamie Priestley from, like, you know, My Name is Earl sort of fame, and Eric Roberts from the Mr. Brightside music video. Every time I looked at him, I was like, oh my god.
You're saying names, and I don't know. Say them as, like, the characters in the film. Who are they?
Oh, Tina is Jamie Priestley.
Okay, I recognize her.
And the bad guy, Dr. Donovan, is from Mr. Brightside, the music video by The Killers.
That's funny that you recognize him from there. I recognize him from The Dark Knight. He was in The Dark Knight, and he played the mob boss, and he was the worst actor in that movie, and he is also arguably the worst actor in this movie.
I know Eric Roberts from an episode of South Park, like a very old episode of South Park, where everyone's, I think they're trapped somewhere, and they're just like, nobody gives a shit about Eric Roberts. Eat Eric Roberts.
Nobody gives a shit about Eric Roberts.
Eat Eric Roberts.
And they all just eat him.
Yeah. Well, South Park was right.
We all know him from some just, like, obscure bullshit, like, episode or one-off of something. He's never, like, famous.
Oh, no.
I think Emma Roberts is his daughter, maybe? Is it Emma Roberts' daughter? And Julia Roberts is, like, his cousin or something like that.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, his kid is Emma Roberts, who is way more talented than him by, like, long shots. So, anyway.
Poor guy.
Not poor guy. He's worth millions.
He just gets so much from all those crappy Sci-Fi Channel movies that he's in.
Definitely. Is he in a bunch of those? I believe
it. Yeah, he's in a bunch of, like, straight-to-DVD movies from, like, the aughts.
That doesn't surprise me. I what surprises me is that he was in The Dark Knight, which is, like, a very good movie, and then you got him randomly in it, and he's terrible. He's awful. And that.
And Debo was in that too, aka Zeus from No Holds Barred.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rest in peace.
I think I recognized Christy as well.
My grandmother knows Eric Roberts from Young and the Restless.
Oh, is he in Young and the Restless? He seems like a soap opera star. Like,
yeah.
I could see him in a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense.
He was definitely in Young and the Restless. I remember too, coming home from school and my grandmother watching Young and the Restless, recorded on a VHS tape, and seeing this man, like, fake smile his way through a scene.
Oh, great. My parents watched that all the time. Whenever I, like, stayed home from school sick or something, they would be watching freaking Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
With Victor Newman.
Newman.
No, but, yeah, there was another recognizable guy. He was in Shameless. I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but... Mm-hmm. The tech guy was one of the characters in Shameless.
Yeah.
The nerdy tech guy. I recognized him there. But that was about it. Oh, Christy, I know her face, but I don't know who she is. But that's about it.
The guy who played Zach, the black guy with the pointy hat, head, like, spike.
Oh, no, he had, like, a spike head, yeah.
Yeah.
They create a player character?
Exactly.
And this looks like someone fooled around the creative player. Like, I'm gonna give him a mohawk. I'm gonna dye it pink. I'm gonna dye his beard pink. What was it? Green.
It was green.
Yeah.
It
was weird.
Like green or something. That guy, I remember him very vividly from The Family Stone, which is a movie that came out a very long time ago.
I remember that movie. Yeah, it didn't come out that long ago. Like 2011, I want to say.
2005, man. It was a long time ago.
Wow.
I know. Ooh. It feels like forever.
Jesus.
And he was also in Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. What was that, 2003?
2012.
What's that? Dates don't matter. I don't know when things come out. Family Stone, 2012. Fucking Cabin in the Woods, 1998.
His name is Brian J. White. And he's actually a pretty kind of talented actor. I like him, obviously. In this, I mean, he's only doing what is written for him on the script.
So clearly we loved every actor in this film.
Yeah, definitely.
Making his second appearance on our podcast in his first video game movie, because we talked about him in our Ninja Turtles episode.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
As, what's her name? The wrestler chick, her dad.
Yeah.
Bass Armstrong. Yep.
Is that what his name was? Bass Armstrong?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I liked that. I liked their little relationship in this. I think they did a good job with that.
He's a pretty fun character to play in that game, too.
Yeah, he's just a goofball.
If anybody listens to this podcast and is like, boy, I love this movie, I'm going to go play this game.
Boy.
Try out Bass.
Boy, I love this
movie. Boy, I love this movie. Woohoo!
All right, so now that we've talked about the cast of characters here, let's start with the movie here. In the beginning, they do this crazy scene where they introduce Princess Kasumi and Ryu. Well, I'm going to call him Ryu even though he's Hayabusa in the movie.
Yeah.
That beginning scene was one of the most ridiculous beginning scenes I've ever watched. And I gotta say, most of these subplots throughout this entire movie, completely pointless.
Yeah.
The main plot, also equally completely pointless. The only interesting part about this movie was the tournament.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so glad you said that right away, because zero out of all of the plots, none of the plots were fun for me to, like, catch up on. This plot here, where she's like, my brother died in a tournament, but he's not really dead. I'm going to go away. And then the ninja clan is like, oh, if she leaves, she dies. Go and hunt her down. This fucking sucks. Like, automatically, straight from the beginning, it was terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, what the hell was that even about? I don't understand that whole scene. Because first of all, she comes down and he says, if you try to leave, they're going to kill you. The guards will kill you. And then she starts walking and she's just walking through the guards. The guards aren't killing her. There's like probably a million guards just there. And she's just walking through. And then suddenly she sees someone's watch shine her in the eye. Someone shines her in the eye with their watch. And then she tosses her robe, which was the most ridiculous cinematic I think I've ever seen in my entire life, where she tosses a robe. And then in the end, they must have like lightsabers or something, because they're just holding out their swords and this cheesecloth of a robe just sort of just slices in half over this. Ridiculous cinematic. I didn't even know why they had to do that whole thing. And not only did she throw that one robe, but she disrobed again when she, for some reason, everybody bowed when they said Princess Kasumi. I don't know why. They're like, if you try to leave, we're going to fucking kill you. And then he just goes, Princess Kasumi. And they all bow. And then she just walks over them and they just sort of shrug her off. And then she tosses her sword and just like one of those door stoppers that boings off, she jumps on that and boings off of it and disrobes again. She was wearing two robes and disrobes again.
And then in midair, out flies a shuriken or whatever it is. Like,
no, a batarang.
It definitely was a batarang. You're totally 100% right. It definitely was a batarang. Who threw the batarang? Nobody knows. Was it Eric Roberts?
Batman.
Yeah, somebody threw this batarang. And so it like flies and she catches it. What a stupid fucking thing. Also, just a quick backstory here. Kasumi is a princess. But
is she?
Ayane is her half-sister.
Oh, is she really?
In canon, she's her half-sister. In the movie, I don't think that that's true.
I would assume not. She's very American.
Exactly. So, I'm not entirely sure that tracks. But they like kept her purple hair and everything. She's a really fun character to play as in these games, too. I would say I like Bass a lot. I liked Ayane. I liked Ryu to play as in the Dead or Alive games. But she also appears, I'm like 95% sure she's in the Dynasty Warriors franchise, too.
She might be. I will say she's probably the most useless character in this entire movie.
Definitely. She like hurts her wrist and then disappears for the whole movie until the end.
I don't understand.
Like a fucking baseball player. Like, oh, I hurt my wrist. Out 6 to 8 weeks. No, thanks.
She came at the most inopportune times and she didn't add to the story at all. She was an assassin. I didn't know that she was the half-sister. I don't think they ever discussed that.
No. That is in canon, though. She's a half-sister for Kasumi.
Yeah, that whole first scene. Well, I kind of liked the introductions of all of these characters. I thought that was kind of interesting. It was cheesy.
Yeah, we go from really bad CGI Japan to a Kid Rock music video.
Oh, my God.
We introduced the wrestler in her American flag bikini.
Yeah, and these people trying to, like, steal her yacht or something.
Oh, did you recognize the leader of the pirates?
No, who was he?
It's Luke.
Oh, was it really? Oh,
right. Robin Chu.
That's true.
Yeah.
What is he doing in this role?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting pushed into the water.
Jamie Priestley is particularly terrible in this movie for multiple different reasons, but the biggest one for me is every time she talks, she's like winking at the camera the whole time. And like the first couple scenes, it's cutesy. The second, the third or fourth scene, it's like, okay, we get it. But after that point, it's fucking exhausting. Every time she's on camera, I'm just exhausted immediately by her presence. Like, God damn it, lady. Tone it the fuck down. You're not in, like, a comedy here. Like, it's an action. And she's, like, constantly, like, either exasperated or daddying or, like, you know, hamming it up. It's so fucking... It's too much.
Yeah, I agree. She was... She must have been... The director must have just told her, overact as much as you can.
Exactly. Because
she literally... That was her whole persona throughout the entire movie, was just overact the shit out of your character.
Yep.
Did you notice when Tina kicks Liu Kang, her legs make airplane noises?
I mean,
you're talking about the sounds in this movie? I wouldn't be surprised if they made like a boinging noise. Like they made the most ridiculous noises throughout this entire film. There was at one point, I don't know if you guys caught this, but there was this giant dude who was like jacked and was kicking that one Kasumi's ass. I think it was Kasumi. Yeah, it was Kasumi. And he's like beating the shit out of her. And at one point he like puts his arms down and they make a gun cocking noise. Like,
oh yeah.
And I was like, kidding me? I distinctly wrote that because I'm like, wow, are you kidding me? They actually made gun noises for his guns.
Oh yeah. No. Ugh.
That was hilarious, I gotta say. Any of those weird wacky noises that they decided to add in there were pretty awesome.
So then the third character that they introduce of the, like the main three characters here is Christy, who is the thief, and this is peak 2000s, right? This is peak early 2000s scene, right? This is a platinum-haired lady, naked in a hotel room.
No nipples, though.
Exactly. An English man comes in who is very...
No nipples?
No nipples. They don't show any nipples, right? An English man who is very nerdy comes into the room, stammers officially... And then she escapes and rides pretty much naked. First of all, she assaults a man in an elevator and steals his jacket and throws him in a suitcase for some reason. And then jumps on a motorcycle pretty much naked to escape the police. It seems like straight out of sexy James Bond, right? It's definitely the last two James Bond movies that they stole this from. What a terrible introduction to this character.
The movie wants you to know she's cool because she's on a motorcycle.
Out of the three women main characters, she was my least favorite. She was horrible. And her story, the worst out of all of them. At least Tina had her dad, which was kind of a funny moment. This Christy girl had almost nothing. Sexy James Bond was literally all she was going for.
Yeah, it made me feel, every time that they talked about, like, I'm gonna steal something, I was like, bitch, you can't steal a fucking thing. Like, there's no way you're gonna steal anything. You can't steal the screen that you are talking to right now. It's nothing's happening. Oh, lady. And it's a shame, because I think out of the three women who are featured in this film, she's the best actress, I think.
I've seen her before. I still don't know who she is.
The character is just poorly written. But I think she's actually acting what she's given pretty well.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yikes, though.
Yeah, that whole scene was ridiculous. Like, the guy just handing her the bra with his gun. Are you kidding me? Are you just the stupidest man in the world? What is wrong with you?
And it sucks on so many levels. It just makes me, like, Oh, do better, 2000s. Why are you like this?
Oh my god, it literally is the 2000s.
Oh.
And while Tina has airplane legs, Christy has whipcrack legs.
Yeah. What?
There's a whoosh sound effect.
Oh my god. I wonder if Kasumi had some sort of thing with her legs. I bet she did. I bet we just missed that sound effect. They each have a sound effect associated with their legs.
Like a truck or like a jackhammer or something like that.
No, it'd have to be something very probably racist. Borderline racist.
A gong.
Like a gong. Yeah, a gong. And you know what they added here? What is with fucking women on motorcycles? Is this like the thing? Like they did it in all of these Tomb Raider movies. And then they had to do it here. Christy has this fucking scene where she's escaping on a motorcycle. What is this bullshit of the 2000s?
It's the early 2000s.
Like, they were like, we had... There's a hot woman in this film? You gotta have a motorcycle. Gotta fucking have a motorcycle.
There's gotta be guys who are into that, like, oh, I like when hot women are on motorcycles.
She just made a whip noise and she got on the fucking... Oh, she went, God... Motorcycle.
A guy who's turned on by that is like a guy who walks around with his shirt open with like a lot of chains.
Yep, and a whip.
Oh, God, guys. It's very true.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention, and maybe we should have mentioned this at the end, but I want to mention it now. The music. The music in this whole film is just... Throughout the, like, it'll be like a silent part for about 3 minutes, and then, and then if it's with Asian people fighting, it'll be, and then if it's Tina fighting or her dad fighting, they'll add a banjo, and then it'll do that same thing. They do that every... I don't know if you guys noticed that, but they did that every single time. It was just like, add very stereotypical noise, but same boom, boom, chick, boom, boom, ba, ba, boom.
Yeah.
Noise.
Oh, it's terrible. It's
terrible.
I agree with you. It's some of the worst video game music that we've ever seen. I do want to tell you, though, Every time that I like listen to it, I think, because I it played throughout the whole movie, obviously, right? And every time I think about it, I'm like, is this really that bad? And then I realize I've heard it many other times before. The same person who did this movie also did Deadpool. He did Mad Max Fury Road. He did like 300.
Wow.
He did the reboot of Tomb Raider, and he did Sonic the Hedgehog and Godzilla vs. Kong. Now, all of those movies that I just said right there are instantly forgettable soundtracks. They're just like loud fucking noises in the background. This is what this movie is. It's just like loud noises in the background.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's a ton of do-do-do. Yeah, it's terrible.
Also, there's, like, some of the action scenes at the end. The music has, like, these, like, MIDI trumpets. It sounds like the score to, like, yep, the Hercules show. Like, Hercules and Xena.
Probably was.
It's like, some, like, old, yep, PS1 games.
I remember that. That was horrible. This soundtrack was probably one of the worst soundtracks I think I've ever heard. But very forgettable. I completely agree. And that was... All of these little clips overshadowed. Another thing I want to mention about this movie is the smallest, super quick montages. One of them was like they jumped out of the plane. In that scene, I don't know if you remember, but they jumped out and it was like, it was acting like it was going to be this long Mission Impossible gliding down. Everybody was going to do all this thing. It was going to be like a 10-minute scene. No. It was a 10-second scene where everybody jumped out and it's like, and they're all jumping out, but then they landed immediately.
Yeah.
Like right after. There was no scene. It was a very quick montage. What was even happening there? I don't even, it was so quick. There was no... They could have skipped over it.
Before they jumped, they were making fun of Bulk and Skull for not bringing their parachutes.
Also, the three of them could have gotten up that thing very quickly had they just used a fucking ladder. The stuff that they were doing to, like, flip up and, like, duck, jump, dodge into, like, next stories, just grab the ladder, put it up, climb it quickly, and then move it again and climb it quickly again. I don't understand what they were doing there. It was ridiculous. And then they performed, like, human, superhuman feats of strength that were never seen again throughout the movie. Tina jumped, like, six stories at one point. And then, the next scene, she's, like, having trouble, like, tying her shoe, pretty much. Like, she can't, like, fucking kick.
Oh, yeah. That entire scene was just stupid. I hated that, like, them climbing the tower sort of thing. It didn't make me feel like they were ever going to miss this sunset. Like, what? I don't understand what the purpose is. And it was like, we got to show them working together for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be best friends or something.
It was really to show their butt cracks and their tramp stamps.
Oh, yeah. There was that moment where she pulled it down. She's like, hey, you're showing my butt. Like, you care. Come on.
And then they would flash over to the sunset. And I don't know if you guys saw the same thing, but they would, like, start the sunset at one point. And then it would end. And then they would, like, go back to the girls and then come back. And the sunset would start not where it ended, but it would go back to the beginning and then just...
back up.
It was the same sunset over and over again.
Yeah, and actually, every time they zoomed to the sunset, you could see it. Like, they would only show for 5 seconds, but you could see the sun moving down.
Yeah.
Like, it was moving super fast. You're like, fuck!
Maybe there were two suns, like on Tatooine.
It reminded me of, like...
Ah, there's the other sun!
Super Mario Land, where, like, the sun is, like, obviously coming down to get you, but not really.
Yeah, maybe it was just another video game reference. That's what it was.
Oh.
And then... Oh, the other thing I didn't like about this climbing scene was there was a point where they were holding on to barbed wire. Like, they were holding on to, like, this fence... But it clearly had barbed wire all over it. I don't know how they were holding it. I don't know why they made it barbed wire either. Because it just, like, made it less realistic that they were trying to climb this thing. It was so... I hated that whole scene.
Fully agree.
And then another 10-second montage where they decide to do this scanning sequence. They show, like, each character, like, getting scanned. Which was probably the most pointless scene I think I've ever seen in my entire life. And the cheesiest, because they show...
It's to show their names.
Yeah. Plus they show Zach doing this thing like, ooh, it's a disco.
This thing kind of reminds me of a disco.
He does this thing, and that was the cheesiest fucking thing I think I've ever seen in my entire life, where he said, this is like a disco. First of all, this took place in, what, 2004? It's not a fucking disco. You're about 30 years too late for that reference.
For all of these people being, like, the best fighters in the world, they are really fucking horny. Like, they're all horny people. Like, every single, not all of them, but most of them are, like, rather horny. They don't show mainstays of what I think Dead or Alive, like, Jen Fu and stuff like that. They don't show any of them.
Yeah, he's not horny. He's just an old man.
Right, exactly. So they don't show, like, some of the other characters.
Neither is the dad.
The dad is surprisingly not horny, although when he sees his daughter in bed with another girl, he's very interested for some reason, but supportive, but very interested, yeah.
It's like, hey, are you, like, a lesbian or something?
Oh, my God.
It's okay if you are, but I mean, it's pretty hot.
That's pretty much it. This movie had, like, the weird 2000s gay panic in it all the time. Except it wasn't, like, explicitly shown. It was talked about a lot. Also, let me just say, you don't meet Eric Roberts until about a third of the way through this movie. And he is creepily right on top of that Weatherby guy, just like in his back of his neck, like about ready to lick him, ready to lick the nape of his neck. That's how close he is in the first scene that we see him. Really weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't understand that scene either. Oh, one of the things they show early, and it's actually around that point, is they say no weapons allowed except for the human weapon. The human weapon.
No weapons are allowed in a DOA fight except the human weapon.
There's just a man dressed as a sword
and
walking
then
around.
The second fight that we see, somebody throws a chair. Like, that's not a human weapon. That should be a disqualification immediately.
Disqualified chair weapon.
What are you doing? You can't do that.
So, Kasumi is probably the most badass fighter in the entire group, right? She's freaking killing tons of people. There's a flashback where it shows her and her brother, and somehow she has been captured by three bridge people who look like three fucking losers. She's sitting there tied up, and her brother has to save her, and he practically beats them with a finger.
Yeah.
Like, just smacks him away with a finger, yet she somehow, in a few years, becomes the world's greatest fighter ever.
Yeah.
Yet she was captured like fucking Princess Peach. I don't understand it.
I think this is probably the best description of anything so far, is those people were just bridge people, because they really did look like just bridge people. They had no other discerning qualities other than they just lived on that rickety fucking bridge the whole movie.
That's what I wrote them down as, bridge people. Because when you looked at them, they looked like they came from under a bridge. Like, they were, like, disheveled. They looked disgusting. And they didn't put up any fight at all. Bridge people.
Yeah. It reminds me of that quote in Empire Strikes Back where Han Solo yells at people, deck officer! Deck officer!
Deck officer! Deck officer!
Deck officer!
Bridge people!
Bridge people! Yeah. No, but that just was totally out of character. Why? How can she be the damsel in distress and the world's best fighter? It doesn't make any sense. It's like freaking Donkey Kong Country 2, where they capture Donkey Kong. That's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just to prove how strong her brother is.
No, I agreed. Yeah, well, it's to show that, I guess, but it's also to show, like, how, I don't know, it's like showing how, even though they have strong women in this movie, they're not really that strong. Apparently this guy's better than all of them. So is, what's his nuts? Donovan. All he needs is a pair of sunglasses, and he can kick people's ass.
Yeah. I would agree that it does diminish their power in some ways throughout the movie. But I do think, like, you know, unlike Tomb Raider, where I think they try to, like, make Lara Croft into this great thing and then it backfires, right? Through both of the movies. I think in this, I think it's the lack of character development that makes these characters seem like kind of strong female leads, right? They don't do enough to describe them because I don't think the screenwriters are very talented. So they make these one-dimensional kind of characters, but in that way they are kind of still strong. They don't have any depth to them to kind of fall apart. So they're still, like, you know, what's her name? Christy is like a skilled thief. We don't see anything to prove otherwise. So she, by default, is a skilled thief.
It's a skilled thief.
Jamie
yeah.
Presley is like a really good fighter. We see her win fights, and we don't see her lose them. So by default, she is a good fighter. Kasumi,
that's true,
is like, you know, supposed to be this like magical, really great ninja. Aside from that one scene, we don't see her not be that, so she is that.
Right.
So throughout this movie, they're like, they are the characters that they are, because they're not developed. So in that way, I think it's kind of strong female character leads. I think it's okay. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I would say all of the men sort of, or a lot of the men just sort of buckle down. For instance, the Max character, one of the most useless characters in the entire
100%,
movie.
100%, yeah.
He gets invited to this Dead or Alive tournament. And the first thing he does is he feigns an injury, is what he said.
Yep.
And somehow he's allowed to stay after he feigns an injury. This is a very serious tournament, but he is allowed to stay after he just fakes an injury. And he doesn't have to fight anybody. And then the other guy is Tina's father. And he seems like he's not even trying to fight.
Yeah.
That whole battle between Tina and him is pretty much like, it's a joke battle,
yeah,
for one. And for another, it seems like he's really not into fighting her at all anyway. And he does this Terminator 2 thumbs up as he comes up out of the water. So, yeah. Like...
Hey, you've seen Terminator 2, right? He like bites her too. He's like, oh, this is what we do in wrestling. We, yeah, bite people. Okay, I used to watch a lot of wrestling as a kid. I never remember any wrestler biting another wrestler.
I don't
wrestler.
Remember that either. Not in freaking WWE or WCW or whatever.
And so I do have to point out that this whole movie, there are parts of it that were shot in the same studios that the Jet Li movie Hero and House of Flying, mm-hmm, Daggers were shot in. So, like, there's a lot of scenes that remind me... And that's the thing that I'm battling with. Like, there are a lot of scenes that remind me of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or House of Flying Daggers, or Hero. And I'm trying to think, do I like those parts of this movie because I like those movies? No. Or do I like those parts of this movie because they did it well? And I think it's because I like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or Hero, or House of Flying Daggers. I like those movies, and so I'm like projecting my affection for those movies onto this shitty movie. That whole fight between Kasumi and Ayane is not great, but it's in the same sort of fight as like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or House of Flying Daggers. It's like that sort of like floaty Chinese like bamboo area. And it's cool. It's cool looking. But yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, it was like a derivative.
Yeah, a poor imitation.
It felt similar to that, but it was, yeah, a poor imitation. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. But what do you expect from a terrible movie like that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was strange. And it, like, that fight scene between Ayane and Kasumi comes right after that, like, really awkward beach volleyball scene.
Play with a friend or play with yourself. Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Which I can only describe as, like, just shitty. Like, it's not even, like, sexy. It's, like, dumb. I don't know how to describe it. It's not good. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why does Kasumi have a bikini? She's like this royal princess. Like, where did she get a bikini from?
All princesses wear bikinis. Come on.
And how do they know how to play beach volleyball that well? Like, is it a niche in the fighting world that everybody knows how to play beach volleyball that well?
Yes.
It's some really intense beach volleyball. Like, really hard spikes and, like...
And then... And for some reason, Zach needed to be the announcer in that, too.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
So one of the things is that I've noticed with these video game movies is the black guy character tends to always be the comic relief. Is that just what it's always going to make people in these video game movies?
It's the 2000s.
Zach is a comic relief. Yeah, I guess that's just a 2000s thing. It must be.
Balrog from Street Fighter, you're Jax from Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
All comic release. Resident Evil had that too.
Doug said it best. The 2000s suck. Like, the fashion sucks, the music sucks, the character development sucks. All of the 2000s are terrible. Yeah.
That's true. There's not very... The 2000s were really... They were, like, trying to find their own there, and they just couldn't find it.
Just try to name like 10 good movies from that decade. You'll name like, you know, The Dark Knight. You'll name Lord of the Rings and like Harry Potter, but that counts as like one.
Yeah.
Like the franchise counts as one movie, but like try to name like 10 good movies and you'll think of some that were big and you'll realize how terrible those movies were. Yeah. Like 300. That movie is fucking terrible. But remember how big it was when it came out?
Even like...
I do remember that.
Movies like that are now, I think, brought back into fashion. Like the original three Spider-Man from Sam Raimi. People shit on those movies. Those are actually good movies. I would never watch Unusual Suspects. Like, it's not a great movie now.
I wouldn't watch it either. I'd watch The Usual Suspects.
Thank you.
The Unusual.
The Unusual Suspects. Yeah, The Usual Suspects. Thanks for catching that, Kevin. It's a Kevin catch right there.
Yeah.
Woo!
No, but I agree. I don't even know when Usual Suspects... I feel like that's a 90s
movie. It feels like a 90s movie. Like, let's look. 2000...
I'm pretty sure it's like 1997.
It might be. Oh, yeah. Here's a great one. Apocalypto. When did the last times you guys watched Apocalypto? That's a terrible movie.
Never.
Right.
No, I agree. Polar Express.
It's fucking terrible.
Hated that movie. That movie had like no plot. It was like a kid on a train and then like
There's the book, which is like 5 pages long, so I mean
all of the Hangover movies, right? The Hangover movies are terrible. Yeah. Right.
Fucking worst.
They don't hold up, yeah.
That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, the 2000s were just you're right. They weren't a good time and they were really trying to experiment with some new ideas, I guess. I didn't want to call them new. They're sort of old ideas, but worse.
Yeah.
Anchorman is like the one comedy from that decade that I think is like really good. I love that movie.
Yeah, Anchorman was very good. I think what's his name just made a lot of good movies.
Yeah, Judd Apatow.
Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell. Judd Apatow as well.
Yeah. It's one and the same. Like, it's, you know, Super Bad, Step Brothers, like stuff like that. Then there's like Napoleon Dynamite was kind of huge then. I'm not a huge fan of Napoleon Dynamite.
It's an MTV movie.
Yeah, you were in high school too when that movie came out, and people would just talk about it. Be like, do you remember the scene where he goes to the nurse's office and he calls his brother and says, I have chapped lips? It's so funny. Why is that funny? Because he's the way he says it. He's like, I have chapped lips. His brother's like, I'm not delivering your chapstick, Napoleon. And then he's like, but I have chapped lips. You know,
it reminded me of one kid who was in my class. So it's a little bit funny to me.
The 2000s are like the Rob Schneider of eras. Like, they're not great. You know, I understand them for what they are.
They have some moments.
Exactly. But, you know, just pass.
All right, back to the movie.
Sure.
So then we get to about the end of the movie. So, well, actually, I wanted to mention another really cheesy thing. And I know that they were trying to be cheesy, so this is what they were going for. But this is, like, beyond cheesy, is the nerdy guy sees Helena, and before he talks to her, he has this, like, some romantic vision, and they play that romantic music, like the...
Yes, the music from Wayne's World. Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet fantasy overture.
Oh, my God. That is probably the most cheesy thing you could ever throw in anything. And that's something you would see in like a cartoon, maybe.
And that's like the little hearts,
but
too.
Not a fucking movie that someone paid $10 to go see back in the day.
It's like it switched genres, too. It like went from this action movie to like fucking Naked Gun. Like
exactly. That's why it was way out of left field. Like, you got all this.
And then there's like the hearts all over the screen. that are just Instagram filters, right? In the 2000 era. Like, Instagram heart filters, they're just put on there, and oh, it's terrible. I agree.
It all came from this movie. That's where they got that idea.
Oh, definitely.
They're like hearts you get on, like, your Razor phone. Like, you know those ads that would air at, like, 11 p.m.? It'd be like, text 5312 to get these really ugly heart emotes.
Were you the voiceover for those?
There was one I remembered. It was just like, you ready to hear some jokes? Text 43921. They're so funny.
That's exactly what they sounded like. Exactly.
Text the word joke to number 44544. Laugh your head off with the best dumb blonde jokes.
Text 431. Funny. Awful.
I forgot all about those until this very moment, Doug. That's fucking crazy. Holy shit. Oh my god.
But you text that number and then you get those heart animations for
exactly.
your phone.
Exactly. Yep. Oh my god.
Oh, and I wrote down another thing with sound effects. At one point, Tina punches Zach in the face and there's bird noises like
So now it's Tom and Jerry.
So because like this movie is like half cartoon, half not. I don't know what it's trying to be, but it's somewhere there.
And the only moment where it actually feels video gamey to me when they go to the perspective of Weatherby, who's watching these fights, and they see the health bars in on top of each character. And that was the point where I was like, let's do more of this stuff. And they only do it three times throughout the whole movie. Yeah. And that sucks. Because parts of it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Let's see this. And like they made a plot device in order to progress that. Like, oh, we put nanobots in there so we can see how they're actually doing. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. They're going to do this throughout the movie. And then they do it three times and never again. I wish they would have kept going.
When they're injecting everyone, they show like what's going through their bloodstream. I feel like that's what like right-wing people think the COVID vaccine is.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and someone's looking at their health bar right now.
Some Joe Schmo down in Kentucky who's drinking a PBR. Let's keep track of his health. Yeah.
His health bar's in the red. You're about to die.
I ain't getting a vaccine. You ever see Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive?
Oh, my God.
So the Mohawk guy, you know the airplane spin move where you put someone like over your head and you spin around? He does that. And of course they play an airplane sound while he's doing the airplane spin.
Oh yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, they, I don't know who the sound effects person was, but I'm going to say they were spot on. They were actually very, very good for this movie. I got a kick out of almost every dumb sound effect that they decided to play.
I kind
of
liked it too.
I mean, even though it was ridiculous, over the top, it added to this movie. I'm not going to say I hated everything about this movie, because that was one point that I actually liked about this movie. The other thing I liked about this movie was, you know how in every fight game, or I guess more 3D fight game, when they start the fight, they always say like some stupid like phrase, like, I'm going to beat your ass, or like, this time... You're going down. They did that with this, like, with this. They said those, like, dumb one-liners right before the fight started.
Yeah.
One of the times, like, Tina says to her dad, she goes, like, Daddy, I'm going to have to hurt you to win. Like, that was some stupid one-liner. And then he said something completely unrelated to what she said. And that's exactly what you would see in a video game. They say something completely unrelated to what the person said.
And that's why they should have just screamed at each other.
Yes.
I think they borrowed... Well, I know they borrowed, you know, the announcer from the game. They just used, like, KO and get ready, fight. They used that, like, they just took that right from the game. They probably took, like, sound effects from the fighters as well.
Oh, I hope
definitely,
they did.
Yeah.
I have to mention this. We were talking about sound effects. Wilhelm Scream, the king of all sound effects, is in this movie.
Yes, I wrote that down as well. There was one point where Hayabusa, aka Ryu, kicked someone off the edge, and they went, what? I love when they throw the Wilhelm scream in there, just randomly.
Oh my gosh.
Is this the... how many times have we done Wilhelm scream on here? I know Street Fighter had one. Any other movies that had it?
I think we mentioned it in House of the Dead, too.
Oh, they, yes, yes.
Yeah, pretty sure House of the Dead.
I feel like the Wilhelm scream was in Tomb Raider. I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in Tomb Raider, too, and I think we pointed it out there. Pretty sure we pointed out almost every single time it pops up because it deserves to be pointed out. And it's usually only played once in a movie, and that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Still waiting for the Howie scream. We haven't gotten that yet. That's the Real Monsters intro scream.
I hate that one. That's my least favorite one. It's so... like, the Wilhelm scream is obvious, but the Real Monsters or Howie scream is just so out of place. I don't even know where you fit that. It's too long.
It's long. Yeah, the Wilhelm scream is, like, short.
It's almost like a battle cry. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So, the next point is they have this... another stupid... freaking subplot where they're trying to steal money from the vault. And this is where the movie just, whatever semblance the movie had of some sort of movie at all, just falls apart right with this final plot point where they get the code from Helena's
neck.
First of all, who the hell puts their password on their neck? Like, are you is she looking at it? No. Why would the fuck would she put her five number code? She couldn't remember it. It's too much. She had to put it on her neck. Are you kidding me?
So what I like had to piece together, because the plot is just insufferable in this fucking thing, is her dad put the password on her neck and did it in a mirrored way, and then told everybody that his daughter was the key, but didn't give them the exact reason why that was, but then gave everybody else the code. Like, I don't understand. Why the fuck does she have a password on her neck?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'm missing something from the game. Is this in the game? I don't know. I don't remember this in the game.
Yep.
Who the fuck knows? Like, I don't know.
I don't think this is in the game. That wouldn't make any sense. But I guess it could have been, but...
I guess. I mean, it is
no, I think it was just a dumb subplot where they had to add this completely useless character, Max, to the entire thing. I still think he is the most useless character in this entire movie. I think he adds... exactly zero to the movie. He's not funny. They try to make him like a joke character, but he's just not good.
Well, the actor is a dick. I mean, he just looks like I want to punch him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he looks like a prick. And that's why he can't be funny. Like, he's just got that face that is kind of a prick, and you're just like, he can't be funny. He can be a 100%. Prick, but that's about it.
Yep.
Then we get to the final portion of the movie, which makes... I had to rewind it a few times, and I still don't know what these sunglasses were for.
I think it, like, predicts their fighting style or what they're going to do in the fight.
Oh, it predicts it? Okay.
Like, it predicts the move they're going to do? I don't know. It's... by the way, I think I mentioned it before. Eric Roberts, like, the villain in this movie is fucking awful. It's like...
oh, yeah.
Quintessential. I know this isn't a Marvel movie, but this is like a Marvel movie villain.
Yeah.
An evil rich guy in a suit who has no personality whatsoever and no redeeming quality to his character.
There's
pure evil, no character development or anything. Just like pretty much every villain in every Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Except for Loki.
And what's his motivation?
He's rich. He wants money.
Money, money, money.
That's it.
It is so stupid. And he already has a ton of money.
Power. Money and power. That's like all these types of characters want.
So he downloads all four of these people. Mind you, a princess ninja, a sexy thief, a
wrestler,
Southern American wrestler, and a male ninja from the same clan. He downloads all their shit into his Oakley sunglasses and then just decides, like, oh, I'm going to predict everybody's movements with, I don't know about you, I don't know how many sunglasses I've broken in my entire life, right? I'm probably have broken
a lot
more than, like, 30 sunglasses in my life.
That right? is a lot of freaking sunglasses.
So, let's just say that I'm on the high end of breaking sunglasses. Kevin, how many sunglasses have you broken in your life?
I was going to say maybe 5. 30?
How many
are you doing?
How many sunglasses have you broken in your life?
I'd say like 4 or 5.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's a normal amount.
So you have
30?
A pair of sunglasses. I've broken a lot of sunglasses. So you have like a
snapping?
Those are $500 sunglasses, asshole.
A pair of like plastic sunglasses on your face, and you are going to enter into a hand-to-hand combat fighting tournament with these like plastic fucking sunglasses on your face? Absolutely not. Those things are going to break immediately.
Or someone's going to kick them off.
Which is exactly what happens. What a fucking idiot. Like, any other thing. Like, maybe like a bracelet or something like that. Like, I don't know how to... What a stupid thing. So dumb.
Yeah, it was the dumbest plot. Honestly, all they had to do was... They could have done what Mortal Kombat did, pretty much. And just sort of have an end villain like that. Keep the tournament a real fucking thing. Instead of this bullshit overshadow for capturing people's movesets, what a dumb fucking thing. Just make the tournament. That would have been fine.
Fully agree.
Been fine. Because that whole last 20 minutes of the movie was extremely boring.
Yeah. That actually brought the movie down like a few notches for
Agreed.
Me. Like, I actually really enjoyed this. I enjoyed this movie until that third act. And I was just like... I hate Eric Roberts. I hate this fucking British guy.
Oh, yeah. No, he was fucking terrible.
I agree. That whole last piece killed it.
At least, like, make Eric Roberts funny. Like, I mean, he probably couldn't pull it off. But, I mean, like, there are great villains who are pure evil who have, like, you know, who are very two-dimensional. Yeah. But some of them, like the Joker, for example, he's funny. So that's why you love him. But, like, when you have these characters who have no... redeeming quality, and then no personality. They're just not fun to watch.
He had nothing fun about him at all. Nothing. I don't think he said a funny line. I don't think he did anything. Anything.
And I mean, I know he's in the games, and he plays kind of hammy in the games too, but he's nowhere near as stupid as this. Like, this is just a stupid character. The plot doesn't make any sense. Like, his plan makes very little sense.
Compare him to M. Bison, who had an equally awful and very stupid premise, but was a very good character, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually liked M. Bison in the movie Street Fighter. And he was just an evil character. There was nothing really redeeming about him, but he was a good, evil character. And this guy was, he might as well have been a robot in a green suit or just a blob in a suit. It would have been the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Stupid. Ah, hated him.
Raul Julia's character as M. Bison, that character, I feel like M. Bison felt like he was doing the right thing. Even though he was evil, I feel like deep down that character thought like, oh, I'm doing the right thing, you know, just right. I'm doing it for the greater good. Eric Roberts' character is when he knows he's evil.
Right. Yeah, he knows it and he sort of flaunts it. Like, oh yeah, being evil is great, yeah. And I mean... But that's how Eric Roberts is in any movie. Even in The Dark Knight, that guy literally had zero redeeming qualities in that movie.
Yeah, and he's just a sleaze in the music video for Mr. Brightside, so...
Exactly. Come on.
Yep.
What a shitty character in Mr. Brightside, too.
I'm thinking about like King Koopa. Like King Koopa was also pure evil and knew he was evil, but he was funny and he was really enjoyable.
Right.
So it can work. You just have to be funny.
You just gotta not be Eric Roberts.
Nobody gives a shit about Eric Roberts.
Eat Eric Roberts.
Exactly. The whole character could have been like, I guess, dynamic. If his plot to take over the world or sell this data made sense, like, what was he gonna do with it? Did everybody else who he was selling this data to have special Oakley glasses that were gonna download this information? I don't understand. If they all had special Oakley glasses, why don't they just capture people and do the same thing, right? Why do they need these four people, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure if you get like 100 people and download all their fighting data, it's like equal to like Chris.
It's about the same.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's about the same as Tina, Christy, and then Kasumi. I mean, it's about the same. Oh, and Ryu.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, two Asian people who know how to fight in like a ninja style, and then two white people who know how to fight in like whatever style that they were designed. Like, that's what Eric Roberts downloads into his brain to like counter people. It's so dumb. It's not indicative of like world martial arts. It's just like two ninjas, a southern lady, and a fake thief. Like, that's what they have.
She's British, though. I think the movie could have been like 10 times better just without that character. Even if they just did the tournament, someone won the money in the end, and then they just faded to black, I think that would have been better.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's a lot that could have been done, but also, let's talk about the acupuncture scene where her brother where all the bridge people are, her brother also acupunctures all the people, the bridge people there.
So it's that poison. It's a magic poison.
I thought it was just an acupuncture needle.
No, in that anime, the For Your Eternity or whatever, To Your Eternity or whatever it's called, they use that same exact stuff, and it looks exactly the same. I just watched that show, so I questioned my mind. But they do that. They throw, and it looks exactly the same. So my guess is it's that exact same thing. It's like that specific poison. Though it could have been acupuncture, where they just like hit them in the exact right pressure point that just completely knocked them out.
I think that's what Kasumi did to Mr. Brightside on the bridge.
You think so?
Definitely. Just got him right in the neck.
He was not doing just fine then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. No, that was, I don't know, that terrible, but oh well.
Well,
none of them can end good. None of these movies can end good.
Then they jump off of the Buddha deck and watch Mr. Brightside burn up as a crisp. Then they all jump in the water, and then Robin Shu comes with his little boat and gets assaulted, and the boat is stolen. And then they all go away, and Jamie Priestley has some, like, winky camera thing where he's like, get a room!
Oh, for God's sake, get a room!
And then it, you know, fades to black and then opens up again. And everybody's holding swords.
Then it's like 2 years later, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're all badass women. And somehow Helena becomes the flirt, even though she was the only one with the boyfriend. And she becomes the flirt who's like hitting on enemies that they're going to run into. And then they run into these enemies with these swords, which was the dumbest. Like, they didn't need that ending scene. Just fade to black. We've had enough of the movie.
Yep.
We've added your shitty last scene with Donovan, who burnt up in a fire. Just let that end. There's no need for this extra scene that probably cost $10,000 to make. None of that.
They're setting up for that sequel that never happened. And then after that, Daisy shows up with tattered clothing, and she's like, you're not going to believe this.
I believe.
Hey, they're making the sequel. It's coming out next year, right? The Mario movie.
Oh yeah, with Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
He's so cool.
I hope they start off just building off of that ending.
He's so cool.
Daisy just saying, you're not going to believe this. And then it starts into the movie.
That movie's going to suck. We're going to review that when it comes out.
Oh my God. I hope it's good.
Oh my God.
It's not going to be, but Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. What the fuck?
Hey, Mario.
No, Donkey Kong is a separate movie, isn't it?
No, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong in that movie.
In the Mario movie.
Yeah. Oh.
Donkey Kong smoking weed.
Okay, well, so do you guys have anything else about Dead or Alive?
I think after talking with you about this movie, I think it's probably among the top three worst movies that we've reviewed thus far. It's really bad. It's pretty terrible. It's not as bad as Tomb Raider or Doom, but it is up there.
I don't know why you hate Doom.
The first two acts are great. The third act is garbage.
Oh, I agree. The first two acts, fine.
Really fun.
I completely agree. It just falls apart at the last half. Third. The last third of the movie is just...
The beach volleyball scene is where it starts to go downhill. And then after that point, it makes absolutely no sense. The point...
Agreed.
Where Weatherby and Helena are just, like, fighting people on the steps. What a stupid fucking scene. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, where she's stabbing people with swords and they're like, they're okay after getting stabbed with a sword. Yeah. Did you notice that? Like, she stabs them with the sword, they fall, and they're, like, on the steps, like, ugh, like, rolling around. It's like, wouldn't they be dead? Ugh. They faint, like in Pokemon.
Yeah, there were too many guards in this whole movie. It was so stupid. But yeah, I would agree. The movie would have been a lot better without the last bit. They could have made this movie a 45-minute movie. I would have been very happy with it. What is our next movie, then? Is it anything cool? Is it something better than this piece of crap?
So the next movie, Resident Evil Extinction.
Wow! It's another Resident Evil. You know what? At this point, after all these shitty movies... A Resident Evil movie is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I like those other... The two we've seen, I liked.
The first one was definitely better than the second one. But the second one was still pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
We had a fun episode about it.
Yeah.
Mrs. Doubtfire was in it.
Help is on the way, dear.
I gotta say, if I were to sum up this movie, it is the puddle of mud of video game movies. This is just, like, so 2000s, so forgettable, just terrible. I think this is just a bad movie.
I don't know if I'll ever remember it again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I think I would put it on the same level as Wing Commander only because of that factor. I think it is extremely forgettable, and it will be as forgettable as Wing Commander. Four movies from now, we'll be talking about the previous movies, and this one will not even appear.
I don't know. Like, this one has the distinction of just being weird. It's just using those weird sound effects, just how the people looked, like the guy with the weird colored hair and the weird colored beard. It stood out a little bit. So I do remember some of that stuff, but other than that, you are right.
I think the problem is, how many fighting games have we seen now? We've seen three Mortal Kombats.
Mortal Kombats.
And Street Fighter.
We've seen...
Fist of Fury.
No, we haven't seen that yet.
It's not a movie.
No. Dead or Alive. And now...
Karate Champ.
Yeah, we've seen three Mortal Kombats, a Street Fighter, and now this. So four fighting games that are made into movies.
Right.
And I would say that this is the one that I will watch the least. I will not watch any of these other... I will not watch this again, I don't think. I will probably watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation just to, like, laugh about it. The first Mortal Kombat I'll obviously watch. I think Street Fighter is probably one of the best video game movies we've reviewed so far. And the new Mortal Kombat movie is okay.
Right.
This movie, I don't think I'll ever watch again.
Yeah, when you compare it to those other movies, even if Annihilation is definitely the worst of the two movies, it's not forgettable because it's so bad. And because the lines are so freaking hilarious. And because the main bad guy is not forgettable. You can't forget that list.
The greatest army in existence!
Yeah. You just can't.
No, 100%. Oh my gosh.
That's what we needed in this movie was that character.
We need him for this podcast. We still need to get his a cameo for an intro to this podcast.
Even though we've shit on him like almost every single episode.
You're watching the Reset and Rewind podcast.
Like watching, listening.
Listening.
Well, anything else you guys have?
So I think this movie, no, Blood Rain made the least amount of money. Blood Rain only made $3,000. No, $3 million.
What?
Blood Rain made $3 million.
$3,000. So.
300 people came out to see our movie. We made $3,000.
Something close to that happened with a movie that it's coming up. So
coming to you in McGraw, New York.
Yeah, pretty much.
Only, I don't know if a movie only made that much. That would be so sad.
So yeah, this movie sucked. Can't wait to talk about Resident Evil. We'll have to have Ben on for that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Hopefully he'll be able to join it.
So that does it for this episode of Reset and Rewind. Dead or Alive, : Dead or Alive, from 2006. You can follow us on Instagram. We also have an email at resetandrewindpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. All right.
So, text JOKE to 44544.